That's for my crazy day. My packed commute. All those unread emails in my inbox. But I'm getting stronger, faster, and pushing myself further every day. I don't care if I'm not like everyone else. This punching bag is the best way to end my day.
Fearless is knowing yoga isn't your style. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits at fepblue.org/getmore.
Welcome back to Locked On Colts, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. We went through the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs earlier. We're going to go through the tight ends and the offensive line today. These guys are a group who I feel that we really need to pay attention to for one reason alone. The tight end group, I've continued to see people think that the tight end group for the Colts is a strength. This is, you know, kind of worrisome to me if you guys think that. Now, look, Doyle, I love Doyle. He's great. He's a multifaceted guy, can catch, can block, can do everything. Deep, short, doesn't matter. He's not the fastest guy, but he does it all. Then you've got a guy like Brandon Williams, who, as far as I'm concerned, is very unproven. He's a guy who is a blocker, more of an inline type guy as it goes. But you also have a very little receiving ability from him. Now, I don't necessarily mean ability as in he can or can't catch, but he's not proven it because he's only caught about four or five balls, I think, in his entire career. So that's something that's a little unknown for right now. I think that camp will be paramount to him and where he goes through this this entire summer, to be quite honest with you. Eric Swope, a guy who proved to us that he can catch the ball, he can run the deep route, he can run a few different routes. And the good thing about him is that he's a guy who's really truly been developed in the Colts system. I think this is very good for him, but I also think that if you look at the broad or the overall, you know, the big picture, that he's a guy who's also somewhat unproven. So the Colts have Doyle, a guy that has proven everything he needed to prove to get his contract, to be the number one guy and everything. But you've got two unproven guys behind him for the most part. That you're going to have to see a lot of those guys to consider the tight end group a strength, as far as I'm concerned. This opens the door for guys like Darryl Daniels, Colin Jeter, and not so much Mo Alie-Cox. They're going to have to see something that they really like for him, even for him to make the practice squad, in my opinion. He's a big, strong dude, you know, but not a lot of natural athletic ability. But you're going to have to see something from him to really assume that this is any sort of a strength. This might be one of those groups where we get down to the end of the 53-man roster cuts and you see somebody from outside getting cut, you know, somebody in that 25 to 30-year-old range come in as somewhat of a proven veteran. Any guy with, you know, 40 or 50 catches in their career can feel like they feel he can stretch the field or anything like that at all, run a solid seam route. I mean, these are guys that are going to be targeted by Ballard and the Colts. I don't think that a lot of the people on this roster that we even consider 53-man roster projections as early and as recent as 50 or as week four, that are going to be on this team. Now, I kind of bumbled that up, but I think you understand what I mean. These guys aren't going to be huge guys to move forward. Now, a lot of the top two or three at each position are going to stand pat. Going past that, guys, it's really a crapshoot. We don't know who's going to be hitting the waiver wire. We don't know who's going to be the guys that they like the most, that they tend to believe in going forward for the future. So, I mean, if somebody comes off of another team's roster, you know, look out, because this team could look completely different, and we could have a whole new set of conversations between preseason week four and regular season week one. It could be a whole new team. We could have no clue what we're expecting, and tight end's going to be one of those positions, I think. I mean, there's a few of them. The running back that we discussed the other day, if they don't like anybody past the top three, they could go for a guy that hits the waiver wire. I mean, Mack, Turbin, and Gore are not going anywhere. But, you know, even look at the wide receiver position. They've got top four. They want a fifth, and they don't like anybody with Dorsett Bray or anybody that's come on as an undrafted guy. They could go elsewhere for a fifth. I mean, there's so many opportunities and so many possibilities with the back end of this roster. I mean, you look after about 35 to 40, and you could have as many as 13 new faces. I mean, and that's really, quite the expectation. I'm not saying that that will happen. I'm just saying anywhere from 40 to 53, we don't know what's going to happen with a lot of those guys as far as the ones that are currently on the roster. So I don't think tight end's a strength. I think it's a situation where the Colts right now could be one of the best at the position, but they've got to have Swope execute. He's got to be able to prove that he can block. Williams has to prove that he can catch. And if they don't, or if Williams don't, I don't think that Swope's going anywhere. I just don't. But if Darryl Daniels proves that he can do both, which he isn't the most qualified blocker, but he is a physical guy after the catch. So maybe he proves that he can do something like that. Maybe Colin Jeter does it. He's a guy who's flying under the radar right now. We don't know a bunch about him. We don't know a ton about his skill set. But, you know, that's something that's going to be proven in the days ahead. So this tight end group, while I don't think that it's a strength, I think that there's possibility for it to be a strength. But a lot of that determines what we see in the future. So right now, let's hit over to SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. The SeatGeek seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. As you guys know, I do have the SeatGeek app. I have used it, and it is the best, by far the best and easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use the SeatGeek to buy tickets to week 8 last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I've used it on concerts since, but not for NFL games. But you guys can do all of this on SeatGeek. It does not make a difference what your idea is of where you want to go. You can get them all in SeatGeek, and you're going to get a great deal for them. SeatGeek's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And you get the most bang for your buck. SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase today. Now let's go to the offensive line. Here's what I've got right now for my top guys: Anthony Costanzo, Jack Muhort, Ryan Kelly, Joe Hague, Raven Clark. Behind that, Denzel Good and Jerry Vunovic. Those guys look like a clear 1-7, okay? And I take that back, because you add Brian Schwenke in there, but he's also on the PUP list, at least for now in the preseason. We don't know how much longer, whether it's through just the training camp portion, maybe a couple weeks of preseason, or the entire preseason and everything that goes with it. So, but he is definitely a guy who's going to make the roster. He's definitely, I think, that go-to guy for the interior left guard, center, and right guard. He's going to be the initial backup, in my opinion, for all of those. Denzel Good is also going to be, I think, a strictly a right side backup guy onto the right guard and right tackle. And I think Vunovic is a left guard, left tackle guy. They've definitely been working him there. They used him at left guard when both Schwenke and Muhort were out. And I think that that's who they want as their backup to the backup, you know, as far as at left guard. But I also think that Jerry Ugakwe is a guy who is a lot of possibility here. He is a huge dude. And, you know, Zach Banner, who is also a big guy, you can see their combine numbers. They're very similar. But ultimately, when you look at the tape, Ugakwe gets in his pass sets better. He's better at the second level in the run game. Different kind of competition, too. Banner was at USC. Ugakwe was not. William and Mary. So, I mean, you have to consider that as well. But light on your feet on tape, to me, matters. And I can see Ugakwe moving forward with that. You also have guys like Deshaun Bond that are going to offer some interior help. Adam Redman, you know. And there's a couple of guys that we don't know about, like Andrew Wiley. I mean, Fawn Cooper is a guy who's gotten some pub a little bit. But, you know, ultimately, he's a guy that I don't see as quite as diverse as Ugakwe. Or, I'm sorry, as Schwenke, Good, and Vunovic. I think he's very much a tackle, and, you know, if that's what they want to have as a, you know, possibly a ninth guy or even a tenth guy, which would be kind of strange for me, then so be it. But I definitely see this is a very close group as in outside of those initial seven, and I'll add Schwenke into that seven and put Vucinovic at eight. But I think that outside of seven, you've got some question. That's where the competition is going to come in. And I don't think that Zach Banner is by any means a fill-in here at number eight. I just don't see it. I think that he is a guy who's going to have to hit the practice squad. He's going to have to continue to cut weight, but also learn and develop at that weight. He's not a guy who you can just cut weight and be like, okay, he's better, because he's not. He's going to have to work on his foot speed. He's going to have to work on his ability to get to the second level. He's going to have to worry about his drops. There's a lot of things that Zach Banner has to, as far as what I saw on tape, he was embarrassingly slow. The guy yes, he's big, but look, you've got speed and big coming from defensive ends, outside linebackers here, and one move, they're going to get past him. All they've got to do is get him to turn his hips the wrong direction, and he's beat. That's something that I think he's going to have to develop on the practice squad. I'm not, super excited about his first year. I don't think that anybody should be, to be quite honest with you. And that's not necessarily a knock on him. That's just to say that's reality, man. This is the NFL, and you get the requisite size from this guy, you get the requisite strength from him. That's awesome, and that's great, and we need that. But we also need the ability to have quick feet, the ability to punch at the right time, to ward off those speedy edge defenders, and that's just something that I don't think that he can do right now. So as we look forward to that, that's something that I expect to happen with him. He will hit the practice squad initially, as far as I'm concerned. But the offensive line is something that's going to be fun to watch through camp. I think the tight end group is going to be something to watch from camp, and this will be exciting to not only get what the area reporters and stuff are talking about, what they've seen, but I'm anxious to see what we see on in some of these interviews with the coaching staff, what they say without being prompted, what they don't say, who they don't bring up, who they have very little to talk about after they've been prompted. These are all things that we need to look for, and these are pretty important groups as far as I'm concerned. The wide receiver, the running back, and the quarterback groups are great, but the tight end and the offensive line are a group that have to improve and be strengths for this team in order for the offense to continue to ascend and be into that top eight, top five group in the NFL, I think. I don't think that's really a question. So I'm high on them. I just hope that they can do it. I know that as far as I look at it, they've got the possibilities to do it. But whether they do it is another story or not. So thank you, guys. We'll head over to the defense on our next previews, and we'll go there. Thanks, as always. Like I said, I have moved on to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast. If you guys want to subscribe to that, you can do it on iTunes or anywhere else. That's for Stampede Blue. And you guys can check out my work there as well. Thank you guys for all you've done ever since the beginning of this. You guys followed me. We started off with little to, very small amount of listens, and in no time at all we grew it, and you guys helped with all those iTunes ratings and reviews. Those are great, and I thank you guys, and I hope that you'll welcome whoever comes on and replaces me as the Locked On Colts host. So thank you guys all for everything you've done, and I'll talk to you guys later right here on Locked On Colts.